Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Round Ball Run Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Amarashik, Pino Turkaloo, Joey Devine, Jenny Osman, Furkan Korkmaz, Ersan Ilyasova, Sean Keane, Mehmet Memo-Okur, Patreons, Maxwell Cardon, thank you Maxwell, Barrett Baldelli, thank you Barrett, Tixamista Liza, thank you Tixamista, Music Guest, Dimitri from Paris, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, and we are back with another brand new episode of our podcast. I'm here, as always, with co-host, best friend, writer, comedian, extraordinaire, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay, Joey.
Well, that's always good to hear. You know what was better than an okay, Sean?
What was that?
We got an amazing five-star review on iTunes.com. Wait,
oh, nice.
iTunes.com on Apple Podcasts? iTunes doesn't exist, right? What are we supposed to say now? Five-star... Apple, please put a letter in the mail. Tell me what I'm supposed to call this now. But yeah. Either way, we got a five...
I think it's Disney Plus now.
We got a five-star review from MrBents.com, and it says, come on, people. Hey, one second here. Come on, people. This podcast is the greatest podcast in the world. Everyone has said that. This is a podcast I spent some time listening to. They are going to change this podcast franchise. This is crazy.
You know, I loved that review. I almost started booing for verisimilitude, but I just didn't want to. I didn't want to boo the comment. You know what I mean?
100%. Those of you that don't know, if you want to get our attention at any time, just start quoting Rick Barry's rant from the Chris Mullen jersey retirement ceremony. I mean,
I think it's better than at least one of their titles.
I mean, I probably should play that again, right?
Yes.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. Has everybody said that? Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. This is crazy.
Anyway, thank you, MrBents.com, and thank you to all our listeners out there who've given us 5 stars. And please, if you haven't and you enjoy the podcast, please go to whatever Apple is calling it now and give us 5-star reviews. According to every other podcast I've ever listened to, it helps. Another great way you can help is to contact us at RoundRockPod on Twitter, at RoundRockPod@gmail.com, on the phone, on the number in the description of this episode. And if you want to help us out even more, you can do that at patreon.com/RoundRockPod. There's the business. Sean.
Nice. Nice.
What do we do now? I was criticized earlier for, someone said, oh, I act like I got hit in the head at the beginning of every episode.
I don't think that you did that this time.
No,
sure.
Except I felt like I was so self-satisfied by getting through it this time that now I don't know what to do. Just kidding. Sean, what's the greatest website in the world?
It's my homepage and yours, Chartable.com.
It's true, Chartable.com. We haven't checked in at Chartable.com in a while, but last year we decided to make it our goal. Chartable.com charts all the Apple podcast charts, and we decided to make it our goal to become a top 10, right? In some country around the world, the top
somewhere,
10 sports
just
podcast?
Somewhere. Yeah. We weren't even picky about it.
No. We flirted with Senegal. Mm-hmm. We flirted
I think, 81 in Senegal.
Yeah. No, I think we got higher. We were in the 50s at one point.
Oh, it's a great country.
And then we flirted at Ecuador with Ecuador. We got up pretty high there in the 30s, I think, maybe. Either Latvia or, oh, Poland. It was Poland. Sorry. But Sean, guess
didn't
what?
Didn't we do well in, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Didn't we do well in Paraguay recently?
Yeah, it was Paraguay. I think I said Ecuador, but it was Paraguay. You're right.
No. We did do well in Ecuador last year, but Paraguay was kind of recent. I think we cracked the top 100.
Well, Sean, I have something to announce, though.
Okay.
We're really high in a country right now.
What country is it? Like,
should I play the
Tuvalu?
Drop?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now it's time to talk about Round Ball Rock's number one country, Turkey. Admittedly weird timing for this one. Istanbul is the only city in the world built on 2 continents.
Ersan, this does not look like a team, this Charlotte team, that has only won 7 games. They're playing you guys very tough tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's NBA, you know, it doesn't matter what the record they have, but, you know, they want to step up and play, you know, and especially that game, they give up too many easy baskets against them.
Santa Claus, also known as Saint Nicholas, was born in Patara, Turkey, in the 3rd century AD. Chartable.com is a very reliable website that everyone loves. More journalists are imprisoned in Turkey than any other country in the world. Oil wrestling is the national sport.
Yeah, like I said, they got a lot of easy points on us, you know, and if they continue the way, we can lose the game, you know. We have to pick up, you know, energy and play better in the second half.
Ersan, thanks. Good luck in the second half.
Turkey produces 80% of the world's hazelnuts. Once again, more journalists are imprisoned in Turkey than any other country in the world. Was once New Amsterdam. We will still do any and all Serbian podcasts. Turkey, we know there's a lot going on over there right now, but please make us number one according to everyone's favorite website, Chartable.com.
That's right, Sean. Enes Kanter's hometown. Interesting, because it's the month of November, and you know what November means, Sean? Thanksgiving. You know what the official food of Thanksgiving is?
Turkey.
Yep, and that's the country, baby. We are the number 15 sports podcast in Turkey.
Wait, what?
You heard it right. Number
15?
We were 12th a day ago, but now we're at 15. That's right. You're listening to the 15th most popular sports podcast in Turkey, baby. Also, I looked it up. Do you know how many downloads we have in Turkey, Sean?
I don't know.
Two.
Two? My only thought is, like, maybe like, our listeners are unusually likely to have tried to join ISIS and fight in northern Syria, because that seems like it's dominating the news in Turkey recently.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Yeah, topical country to be trending in. Also, we have not said nice things about the ruler there, unlike Senegal's own His Excellency Macky Sall, who Macky Sall go on round
a
ball.
Great man. Look, he helped build the bridge to the Gambia, and that's...
Either way, Erdogan, please don't download our podcast.
No. Just the one about GMs and sex scenes. I think he'd like that one.
Yeah.
Seems like something a strong man would respond to.
But thank you to all our listeners in Turkey. If we get one more download, I think we could probably hit number one. So tell your friend.
maybe sports podcasts are mostly banned.
Well, no, but here's what it is. It's obviously not Chartable.com's fault. They are infallible. They're
a website.
A website everyone always talks about and loves and listens to. So it's not Chartable.com's fault. But either way, Turkey, thank you.
Thank you, Turkey. Do you want to talk about the greatest Turkish basketball team of all time?
I mean, clearly we've got to get us up. Sean, do you have any Turkey news?
I do. I was checking out Fenerbahce, who the dominant team in the Turkish Super League. They've made five straight EuroLeague Final Fours.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically the Golden State Warriors of Turkey. 6-1, currently tied for first in the Super League. Now, Joey, you probably thought I was just going to be talking about Turkish basketball and you would not recognize any of these players.
No, because I know I'd recognize them, because this is the team that signed Allen Iverson.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Allen Iverson used to go to the TGI Fridays in Turkey a lot.
Did they have Darren Williams during the lockout?
Sounds right. They might have Darren Williams now.
So currently, their starting center is Jan Veseli.
Mm-hmm.
Known for making out with his hot girlfriend at the draft and then not doing a ton in the NBA afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
A very good Euro player, though.
Excellent Euro player.
Yeah. Power forward was the future of the Minnesota Timberwolves, the number two pick in the draft after Derrick Rose? Was he the second pick after Derrick Rose? Maybe it was after Kyrie. I think he was drafted in 2011.
I always confuse this guy, Derek Williams, with that guy the Kings took.
Oh, Thomas Robinson.
Yeah. Because they both have bad hair and dunk hard, like, whenever they're in the league. And they both have been on the Kings.
That's true. Yes. Derek Williams has had a couple opportunities in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a tweener, but he's an absolute four in Turkey. And their starting shooting guard and leading scorer is former San Antonio Spur great Nando DiColo.
Oh, love that guy. Great name. Love Nando DiColo.
And then on the bench, they've got former Boston Celtic, I believe, Luigi Datome. And a guy that I did not realize was necessarily out of the NBA, Joffrey LeVert. former Thunder and Spur, dominating the boards. He's not starting on the depth chart. He's like fourth in minutes. I'm just glad that Joffrey Laverne found a home.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sorry, I said the leading scorer and the leading rebounder. Obviously, their leading assist man is Kostas Slaukas.
Oh, of course.
We knew that already.
Mm-hmm, yeah, obviously. Well, that's a turkey news. You keep us in those charts. We'll keep giving you the turkey talk. Talking turkey.
I'm thankful for turkey, Joey.
Should we go to some readers?
Yeah, let's talk to our readers.
Okay. Which way do you want to go here? You know what? We've been begging for calls. We got a call. Let's go to the call. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean. Jonathan from Silicon Valley called to ask us about the website Deadspin. Let's hear that call.
Hey, Randall Rock. This is Jonathan. I work the cycle on Twitter, calling from the worst place in the world, Silicon Valley. I wanted to talk about Deadspin. Deadspin got Trump elected president, essentially, by telling him to go fuck himself on Twitter in 2013. David Roth then used Deadspin to become the ultimate authority on the motivations of our big wet president. And when everyone quit the site last week, I felt this sort of disturbance in the force as I realized that across this great nation, thousands, if not millions, of mediocre white men like me would suddenly have nothing to do in the middle of the day and become so bored that we might do the unthinkable and actually start working. Now, I predict that this will lead to an incredible and precipitous rise in productivity, which will, of course, have an effect on the profits of the ruling class and GDP. This will, of course, sweep Donald Trump into an election victory and will accelerate the climate crisis and the death of our species as we know it. So I guess my question is, will the death of Deadspin bring on the apocalypse? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, that's an incredibly depressing question.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, and I have to say that unfortunately his logic is sound.
Mm-hmm.
Since Deadspin's been gone, I learned another language. Turkish. It was Turkish.
See, I fear it's going to drive people to Reddit, the worst place on Earth.
Oh, God. Yeah, and so it's going to be like, not necessarily even Trump support, but it's going to be like those people who heckle Donald Trump Jr. for not being racist enough.
See, I was going to say it's going to create like actually a feedback loop where like there's going to be a lot of people on the internet like treating the internet like they did in 2012, like talking about like epic bacon time and stuff.
Oh, yeah. God.
Reading like rage comics.
Well, and like, what is it going to mean for the election if Trump supporters are all doing NoFap November? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, is that who does that help? I'm kind of confused about it. Like probably Gary Johnson, I guess, would probably do better this year.
I mean, isn't NoFap November like an incel thing now? It's gotta be, right?
I mean, I'm sure it's an incel thing, but it's like... Yeah, I guess it's like taking incels to another level where not only am I involved, like, even I won't sleep with me now.
And it's women's fault.
Yeah. Get these Ghostbusters out of here. Here's Leslie Jones's home address.
Look, this is a weird place to talk about this, Sean, but I've been thinking about it all day. And I literally think my favorite thing in the world, the incels made me think of it. I think my favorite thing in the world is that George Lucas re-edited that Star Wars scene again.
Oh, it's so good. And kind of didn't tell anyone.
Did not tell anyone. It seemed like Disney was surprised today.
Because they were just like, well, we bought everything for $4 billion. And he's like, yes, the perfect copy of a movie that came out in 1977. That I've been tinkering with and adding weird explosions, like odd puppet things and special effects, and now I've made a crucial scene incredibly confusing.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's like, it's the Han shooting Greedo scene in Star Wars, A New Hope, people, but I've heard it's like incomprehensible now.
Right. Well, apparently he yells McClunky, and it's something that, like, the slave trader pod racing guy yells in The Phantom Menace.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. I love this.
So, like, everyone's favorite Star Wars movie, The Phantom Menace, and, like... Isn't that guy, like, a really offensive Jewish stereotype,
too? I believe he is, yes.
And he's also talking about Jake Lloyd, the greatest actor that has ever appeared in a Star Wars franchise. And now, we're supposed to... I guess we learned crucial things about Greedo's backstory? And honestly, I watched Star Wars recently, like, not that recently, but it wasn't like that scene really stood out this time. But I just love that he's been obsessed with it, and he'll be obsessed with it till he dies. Because
he's editing it now, I guarantee
Yeah, he's like, I want to buy back part of just the New Hope. Can I buy back one Star Wars film?
I just need to fix it.
It's so good. Like, look, if everyone is going to keep watching Star Wars for 45 years, then fine. He can keep tinkering with it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we all still haven't had enough of Star Wars yet, just, like, it's exactly what this, like, you know, stop maturing at age 14 with all your tastes. You know, that's what you deserve, basically.
Yeah. Well,
just turning the whole thing into fan fiction.
It's also just a very funny thing. I've been thinking about this a lot. How, a lot with the Martin Scorsese thing, where every week he says something mean about Marvel movies, and then everyone gets mad at him.
Yeah. Right. It's like the greatest, like, promo tour for a 3-hour movie about aging I've ever seen.
Well, and it's like, did you see Netflix is actually beta testing adding 1.5 speed to movies?
I literally don't understand how that's going to work.
And I was thinking about it, and I really think our problem all started when we started referring to things as content.
Yep.
Instead of art. It's simply just a word choice.
Yeah. Well, I have a question too. Keep going. Sorry. I'll reserve my question. Sorry about that.
Well, I actually have a George Lucas based reader mail question for you. It's from Joey in Los Angeles.
Oh, great.
Okay. If you could re-edit one thing that happened in NBA history, Sean, for the rest of your life until it was perfect, what would it be?
I would have Gilbert Arenas shoot first. Because then that lady Javaris Crittenden murdered would still be alive.
That's pretty good. I think it's pretty obvious what I would edit.
Hey, 1 second here.
Do you think I had a choice?
Come on, people. Show a little bit of class.
For my dead body.
This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. This is crazy.
Anyway, to answer the Deadspin question, we here at Roundball Rock are very sad about Deadspin. And actually, I didn't want to answer this question because I wanted to ask David Roth, but I wanted to get farther away from him being laid off to ask him. But thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, that was good.
I still maintain that Trump is not going to win because the Warriors are bad again and the world has reset itself.
And in fact, like every couple of days, another Warrior breaks a bone.
Yeah.
Just so you don't miss the message. Like, yeah. Even Damian Lee, a small forward / nepotism hire, broke his hand. And that to me is like, well, these impeachment hearings are going to be fire. Because the Warriors are about to start Omari Spellman at shooting guard. So the sky is the limit for this.
All right, let's go to paper mail, shall we?
Yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Love Kebab 69.
What a name. I bet our Turkish listeners will like that name too.
Love Kebab 69 asks, after Fizdale gets fired, who's the next terrible coach that Dolan overpays to bring in?
I mean, I think you and I both have a dream candidate in mind.
I imagine it's the same person, but I have a little wrinkle to mine.
Okay, so I think Tracy Morgan, actor comedian Tracy Morgan, had it right when he suggested that the New York Knicks bring Mark Jackson home. He's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to fit in really well with the freewheeling culture of sexual harassment in the Knicks mm-hmm. organization. He won't be on television.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, look, the Knicks are pretty terrible, but also he won't be intentionally trying to get fired, which seems to be happening with their current coach.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, it'll be so much fun for the New York media for a while. Like, he'll just say stuff that rhymes all the time.
Well, they'll love him there.
And Dolan can write a song called Mama, There Goes That Man.
Mm-hmm. You got half of my answer.
Okay.
I think they need to hire both Jackson and Van Gundy.
Yes! Oh, incredible.
One now, coaches the defense, one coaches the offense. Just get them both off my television.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think they just trade off game to game, like who gets to call timeouts?
Yeah.
Maybe it should be quarter to quarter.
I mean, what he really should do is, I mean, those guys are fine. I mean, that is who he's going to hire probably is Mark Jackson. But what he really should do is just let McEnroe coach for a year.
Yeah, right.
He's already courtside.
He's a good motivator.
People will get so pumped when he gets thrown out of games every other game.
Incredible. He could set the technical record.
Yeah. It would be like, something for the Knicks fans to cheer for.
He'd be great. what other fan do you think would be okay in the Garden? I'd like to see him let Woody have like a week.
No, you can't let Woody do anything. You can't, imagine what Ronan Farrow will write. You gotta stay away from that if you're James Dolan at this point.
Oh yeah, because that's a little too much. Well, what Spike coached the team?
McEnroe's funnier than Spike, though.
He is funnier. Like Spike would take it too hard too.
Yeah.
Like McEnroe would make it a theatrical thing. Spike Lee would just literally be lit. It would be too painful for him to have to coach this Knicks team.
Yeah. All right, Feelin' Minnesota asks, what other weird-ass macho things might NFL guru Trey Wingo be nostalgic for in other sports or other areas of life outside of sucker punches in the NBA?
This is a great question. I'm going to say he won't admit it, but segregation. I think he probably thinks it toughened up America a little bit.
I mean, clearly it's helmet to helmet hits back, right?
Oh, that's definitely true. No more flagrant fouls. Mm-hmm. You can't fair catch punts.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also probably thinks you should have to wear a suit on an airplane.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Warning labels on food.
Oh yeah, he's way anti. He gets mad at the gluten-free logo.
He hates that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Trigger warnings.
And women talking in public, I think is probably.
All right, Sean.
Should we go to the news?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Yeah, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what do you want our first story to be?
You know what? There's an obvious first story, but I think we should talk about your trip to the Clippers game last night.
Okay. I saw Clippers Raptors last night. First off, Chuck the Condor was stealing valor the whole time.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. I don't care if he's endangered. Uh-huh. He's not a troop. He's just not.
No, he's not a troop. He also gave like a wet willy to an old man, a 104-year-old vet who fought in Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Was it Billy Crystal doing like a really good character?
No, we were looking for Billy Crystal the whole time, and I don't think he was there last night.
He like always wears the same kind of hat as Samuel Jackson, but like not quite as
looking,
cool.
No, we were looking for the hat, and we did not see the hat. So the jazz man was not in the building, unfortunately. Okay,
that's fine. He's probably making the second season of The Comedians.
You know who was in the building? 10 billion Raptor fans.
Oh. There was that.
They booed Kawhi.
At his own house.
It bummed me out.
So Kawhi has now been booed at the season opener and at his home game against his old team.
Yes.
Look, I don't really think Raptors fans should boo Kawhi. Except it's really funny for it happening in LA.
His home court, yeah.
Like, it really reminded me of that Drake story.
When he goes to Toronto, cheer him, but it's hilarious to do it at the Clipper game.
Yeah, exactly. but, you know what would be a good twist? Kawhi comes to Toronto, they cheer him, they boo Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Do it just like at Tyler, the Creator's festival. Boo Drake and be like, give us Frank Ocean.
Yeah, Drake also not there. I would have guessed Drake was going to be there.
I would have thought that too, but I think probably he was booed too hard at that thing. The only other like celebrity Clipper fans, Floyd Mayweather goes to a lot of games.
Did not see Floyd Mayweather.
He also gets booed. I found that out because the first time I went to a Clippers game, I wasn't really sure like the best way to exit the Staples Center. And after I had exited, I found myself accidentally in the middle of Floyd Mayweather's entourage. and two of his like bodyguards or associates totally tried to fight a fan that was booing him. And then I was like, I have to cross the street right now. Yeah, so I was briefly on the money team.
Adam Sandler was there. He got the biggest cheer out of everyone. Out of anything that happened, Adam Sandler got the biggest cheer. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello were also there. Cabello?
Okay. Are they a couple or were they just
there?
They were
definitely coupling it up. Really, okay. Instagram coupling it up, you know?
I basically know who those people are, I think.
Kevin Hart was also there.
Ah, well, look. Was that mandatory for the his league contract? I'm glad he's okay. Didn't he get in a terrible car accident like a month ago?
Yeah, but wasn't it a car accident that was like to hide the fact that he said something homophobic again or something?
Oh, yeah, then yeah. Probably. Yeah.
He looked fine. But yeah, going to Staples last night really bummed me out because Kawhi's amazing. The Clippers are great.
Uh-huh.
But they had to play arena noise to chant to drown out Let's Go Raptors chants.
So the Clippers got about 4,000 of their own fans to come out to see the defending champs.
Yeah. The defending champs who'd beaten the Lakers the night before.
Uh-huh. So that reporter was right about Raptors fans taking over the Staples Center.
He was.
Wow. But the Clippers did win the game, right?
Yes, the Clippers did win the game. But I mean, we kind of knew the Clippers were going to win. I mean, the Raptors had to play the Lakers the night before.
Yeah,
they didn't play Lowry, and they didn't play Serge.
Yeah, they're both out.
OG didn't play either.
Oh, well, that's removing a person that probably had one of their two people that could stop Kawhi a little bit.
Big Norman Powell game.
I love Norman Powell.
And I thought Kawhi kind of had a not that great a game. Their defense against him was really good. I mean, he almost had a triple-double, but it was like 12, 11, and 9.
Joey, he is exhausted, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
He played on Wednesday, and he's got to play again on Sunday?
We should talk about that.
He's a mortal
right?
man.
Don't we have to talk about that's what, as an NBA podcast, aren't we legally obligated now to talk about rest?
We should be really mad about it, too.
Yeah, we've got to be so upset about rest. These players are resting all the time, and I'm a paying customer. I mean, rest does suck.
Yeah. So I guess the rules are you're not supposed to rest on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And
during national TV games.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to be resting more than one healthy player at a time.
Uh-huh.
And so the Clippers got fined because they were lying about, like, basically, the understanding is
Doc Rivers made a whoopsie. He couldn't, yeah. That's why they got fined.
The NBA is basically okay with you lying about an injury, you just have to keep lying about the
right,
injury.
Right, you just can't tell the press after the game how healthy the guy is, which is right. What Doc did.
We've stressed this before on the podcast, not a medical doctor. I mean, it's definitely not a medical doctor. Oh my god.
It does stand for Dr. Rivers, though, right?
It is Dr. Rivers, that is correct. He just, it's a PhD, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me just say, the Clippers have not had a challenging schedule so far, Joey.
They're rad, though, dude.
No, they're really good, and I think they're going to win the NBA title. I'm just saying, it's pretty sweet that they've had three road games so far.
Mm-hmm.
They were at Golden State, at Phoenix, which they lost, and at Utah, which they also lost. A lot of home games for this team. They're the anti-Blazers right now. Also, because they're winning games and not losing them.
And not playing Hassan Whiteside.
And they play a lot of defense. Yeah, yeah. most of their offseason acquisitions have been really great. And in fact, some are guys that could really help the Blazers.
Like Mark Harkless?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So about the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, like, this is just the way it's going to be, guys. Look, I've been fed up all week. I'm going to be honest, where it's like, oh, we just talk about the same things every year at the same exact times.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, and the Knicks had a press conference where they're going to fire their coach.
Oh, God.
And then we all have to pretend like, oh, the house is on fire in New York. It's not even funny anymore.
But, like, are we really complaining about rest on November 6th? Mm-hmm. We're mad about it already.
I mean, I will say it was weird the Grizzlies rested Ja Morant.
That's true, but didn't he also miss, like, the whole summer with a knee injury?
I guess, but it's like, we're resting a rookie 4 games into his career now. You know what I mean?
I mean, it seems early, but also, like, if Kawhi's going, like, okay, so I think Kawhi's probably going to miss 10 to 15 games this year.
Sure.
Right, something like that.
Probably more, right? If he's resting already.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
I mean, Doctor Rivers did say he's healthiest. He's the healthiest he's ever been.
Well, that's true. Shit. Oh, but I think I would expect Kawhi to basically take every 8th game off, roughly, and he rested in the 8th game of the season. My objection, I would say, is the same one that Lewis Keane voiced, which is, if you're gonna not play a back to back, which I get it. Like he did miss a whole season basically 2 years ago. Play against the Bucks. You know what I mean? Like I mean, I guess they were both national TV games, but like, play Giannis. You know what I mean? Like someone there should just be like, you know what? It seemed like it would not have made a big difference because they had. He played on 3 days rest, and then he got 3 more days rest before the Raptors. I just kind of want – I wish there was sort of a directive. I mean, obviously, the NBA is powerless to kind of regulate this, but maybe just a strongly worded memo that's like maybe play against the MVP that you had a crazy playoff series against last year.
I mean, also, though, I don't want to hear – I'm in a weird middle space with the rest where I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to hear, like, the pro player people being like, oh, what? They're not dolphins there for you to perform tricks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it is an entertainment thing. NBA would not exist in a vacuum.
Right. And also, like, We're not really talking about like a ditch digger here. Like, right. I understand, like, I support the players above the owners, but also, like, yeah, like, I'm not that sympathetic when your salary is like $30 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even care
about the salary part. I just don't want to hear like, they're not like, what, they're not like dancing clowns for you. And it's like, actually, kind of they are.
That is sort of their job. Yeah, I mean,
that sounds bad, but it's like, they're both entertainment products.
Also, I mean, I'm no disrespect to clowns.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're a bad example because we have occasionally taken rest days on the podcast, but I don't pretend that we're not being entertainers. Right. You know, I'm never just like, oh, you want me to bark for you and make a joke about basketball? I'm a human being.
But I mean, there's like a certain thing where it's like, and again, the NBA would not be played in a vacuum. Like, if people weren't buying tickets,
yeah,
they wouldn't still be playing the games. Like, we pretend like, people pretend like, oh man, the winning is the most important thing, and it's kind of actually not. Like,
it really is not, actually.
The most important thing is, like, being entertaining enough that people will watch you on television.
Right. Like I watched the Hawks Nuggets game, and I both don't think the Hawks will make the playoffs and think I would be completely satisfied as an Atlanta Hawks fan this year.
100%.
And, you know, I mean, I think also that social media is not a very accurate depiction of the voice of the fan exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are pretty content with they want their team to win, and it's like disappointing if you lose in the playoffs. But I think this sort of like a championship is everything mentality is not historically backed up.
Right. And it's also the
terrible attendance figures for the Chicago Cubs until 3 years ago will bear this out.
Right. it's also like I can tell you that as a Golden State Warrior fan, the year they went 73-9 and didn't win a championship is still the greatest season I've ever had as a fan, and that includes the next year when they won the playoff, they won the championship.
Yeah, and lost one playoff game.
Yeah, and what was way better? 73-9.
Yeah, easily. Well, also, that was like a watershed year, I think, in part because it may be like the last time we see somebody really go for it in the regular season.
Yeah, they did not rest anyone.
Yeah.
And then everyone likes to say that's why they lost Game 7.
It's like, well, it isn't really why they lost Game 7.
Yeah, that's why it caught up to them right on Game 7.
Yeah,
that's
like after.
Yeah.
The previous 7-game series was fine.
Yeah. The previous 6 games, totally fine. But that 7th game, they in the 4th quarter, they could not score simply because they didn't take. They played 80 games instead of 60.
And Steve Kerr was just like, these guys are exhausted. We need a little youth. Anderson Varejao, get back in the game. Give us a spark.
But yeah, look, I remember as a child going to a Rangers-A's game and not understanding yet that, like, pitchers didn't pitch every day.
Oh yeah.
And being super mad that Nolan Ryan wasn't pitching. I can't imagine trying to explain to my kid like, yeah, oh, Giannis isn't playing, so he'll play tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, but sorry, we don't have tickets for tomorrow. Like that's a brutal that's just a brutal night for a child.
And I think that's also why the NBA policy makes sense to me, where, like, obviously it sucks that the Grizzlies are resting Ja Morant, especially if he is maybe hurt and maybe not. But I understand why they don't want guys to rest on the road, because it's like Giannis comes to LA once, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a bad example because he does play the Lakers and the Clippers, but you know, especially if the guy you like is in another conference, it's one game.
Yeah.
So, can I tell you my Nolan Ryan story briefly, Joey, sure. When I was disappointed? So my dad...
Is your dad Robin Ventura?
No, my father, Robin Ventura, took me to a game. I had to sit in the dugout.
And I watched him get the shit kicked out of him.
I never respected him again. My dad had like work tickets, and I think he might have even gotten like somebody he knew had a seat in a luxury box, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the A's were playing the Rangers and Nolan Ryan, and my dad was like, yeah, we're gonna go. And that morning he and my mom decided that they thought it was important that I attend my D.A.R.E. graduation that night instead. Okay. I don't know if you listeners know that's drug abuse resistance education. I don't know what I was graduating from. I had to sing a song that was called Go for a Natural High. Mm-hmm. It's about how you should like run and not take drugs. And Nolan Ryan pitched a no-hitter that night, Joey. And my dad had never seen a no-hitter live before, but he really did not enjoy it, because once it was a no-hitter through the fifth inning, he was like, oh no, I made Sean go to a DARE graduation. Something I don't even believe in. And so we were both miserable about that no-hitter, and that's why I did drugs as an adult.
Well, that's an excellent... I'm glad you told that story, Sean, because there's someone else who's never done drugs before, and his name is Dion Waiters. Sean, would you like to walk us through what happened to Dion Waiters this week?
Yes. I would like to add that first, there was a very suspicious tweet about some unnamed Heat player. Mm-hmm. This is like a Heat beat writer that posted this.
Yeah.
And he said that someone on the team plane had had a medical incident and that they were very worried about it on the ground.
But where was the location?
The location he tagged his tweet in was Medellin, Colombia.
Which I wish we could remember that guy's name, because that is just that is what Twitter is actually for.
Right. Just secret codes like that. And so immediately when I saw that, I was like, it's definitely cocaine. It's definitely Dion Waiters. It was Dion Waiters, and it came out that he had overdosed on gummies. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming these are weed gummies and not melatonin gummies, which are the only other kind of gummies. But apparently the story came out. Eventually, Dion Waiters ate too many gummies, which he received from a still unnamed teammate, and had a panic attack on the team flight. And was, like, immediately taken to the hospital afterwards upon landing. By the way, this was a flight from Phoenix to Los Angeles,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that's what we need. We can get more in-depth with that in a minute. Yeah, yeah. But keep going. Yeah. What happened?
And then the Heat suspended him for 10 games.
Mm-hmm. Which is also suspicious, by the way.
That's a lot of games for this incident, considering... as far as we know, Dion Waiters, the way it works in the NBA is if you fail two weed drug tests, nothing happens to you. I think you're maybe like referred to a counselor. Mm-hmm. And then your third positive test is when you start getting suspended. Mm-hmm. But the Heat went for 10 games, which is a little suspicious because Dion Waiters has a $1.2 million contract bonus that is tied to minutes played, I believe.
No,
is
it's games. Games. It's 70 games. Games. Oh. So this literally he cannot get it.
Yeah.
Because of this suspension.
And so now they're like, wow, conveniently close to dipping under the luxury tax. Weird. Mm-hmm. And I have another theory about that, which we'll get into a little later. Joey, have you ever had a weed-based panic? And have you ever done the equivalent of eating too many gummies?
No. I mean, one time I ate a pot brownie and then fell asleep for like 3 hours and then woke up and vomited, but that's the closest.
That's not that big a deal. I was trying to think. I told a story about eating a weed brownie. The only thing, like, recently I've had an experience getting too high was... I went to see the movie Pacific Rim, and this is one. I still have not made it all the way through.
Oh, not a Boyega fan, huh?
I mean, I tried. I tried. This was kind of early in the days of vapes, and I think like I maybe forgot that my friend had a hash vape rather than a weed vape, and we were vaping in the theater in the AMC. In San Francisco. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The greatest movie held in theater I've ever been in. What are they turning in? Are they replacing it with just an expanded Senior Frogs?
Oh,
that makes sense. That building is so weird. God damn it. San Francisco condo capital. Anyway, I just got way, way too high, and also robots were fighting, which actually I was kind of okay with that part of it, but Charlie Day's part of the movie I found so unsettling and disturbing, and like every time Charlie Day was on screen I'd kind of like squint my eyes so I was almost closing them and not watching, and then I was just like, oh thank god, it's just a monster fighting a robot, I can relax again.
I definitely went to see Gravity in IMAX with someone who was too high to be there.
Oh, that is not a good, like, that movie's just too much in IMAX sober.
Speaking of, listen to the Scattered podcast on NPR with Chris Garcia. I won't tell you why, but it's great. Friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
He definitely was not the one who was too high at the IMAX screening of Gravity.
I definitely have not been to a haunted house where he was maybe too high and got too scared either. But the podcast is really good. Not really about either of those.
Yeah, you should listen to that podcast. It's great.
Yeah. I have listened to 3 of the 4 so far.
Yeah.
Chris's mom is like a breakout star.
Yeah,
she's Sarah, the best. I think of this. No, she's more like the Nisha.
She's the S-Town guy, oh, but alive.
Is? Yeah.
Sean, there's one thing you didn't mention, though, that to me is the most important part of this story, is the Heat keep trying to get Dion Waiters to on who gave him the gummy.
And he won't tell.
Which, good on you, Dion Waiters, but also, come on, we all know who gave him the gummy.
I think you're definitely correct here.
It's Kelly Olynyk. The man, look at him. Look at him.
he went to school in Eastern Washington. I believe that's where Gonzaga is.
I believe he's from BC, right?
he's from Canada, yeah. I'm not sure where in Canada. I apologize to Katie Heindel.
He is. Look at his beard. It was his gummy, man.
Uh huh. There's no one on the team that is nearly as good a suspect for that because Myers Leonard is probably a straight edge. Well, I don't know that for sure, but.
I would say Udonis Haslam definitely has super strong gummies, but he knows who he can give them to.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And in fact, and in fact, probably has maybe been like that's with Pat Riley's blessing, mm-hmm. You know, that he's like, oh, you know, I think Justice Winslow is a little anxious. Give him like a quarter of a gummy, you know, and I'm sure Chris Bosch could handle this stuff pretty well.
Do you think Pat Riley's ever eaten a gummy? Just cocaine.
Yeah, I think I'm sure he's like smoked lots of pot, but maybe not.
I just don't think a guy who was on the white side of the Glory Road game smokes weed. You know what I mean?
I mean, yes, but also 80s Lakers. Yeah. Like, anything is possible with those guys. Now, if you told me that Pat Riley never smoked weed after leaving the Lakers, I would buy that.
Yeah.
But he, like, lives in a beach house. I don't know. I think he probably.
He just seems like the anti Don Nelson, even though he kind of dresses like Don Nelson now.
And it's like, well, this weed will help you relax. And he's like, I haven't relaxed in 35 years.
Yeah. I haven't relaxed since I pushed that man off his bike.
Yeah. Now, is it possible? Is it possible that the Heat, knowing this bonus, already trying to get Waiters off the team because he's already basically out of the rotation,
yeah,
right?
I mean, they like sent him home in training camp, didn't they? Or they suspended him already, right?
So, yeah. So if it's not Kelly Olynyk, is it possible that
he was dosed?
Yeah, that Riley, that someone's working under Riley's orders to do it.
It is possible for sure.
And if that, in that case, I think it's James Johnson.
James Johnson?
He gave him the gummies on Riley's thing. It was like the condition of him coming back. Because he's still not that skinny.
I don't think James Johnson's a narc like that, though.
Eh, probably not.
It would be Myers, man. Oh, Jimmy!
He would...
No, no.
Oh, Jimmy. It's Jimmy. I'm sorry. It's definitely Jimmy Butler. And they didn't have to bribe him with anything. Jimmy's just like, yeah, he's not serious.
No, I think Wahlberg came to him and was like, hey, I watched that guy play. You should put some in his cup. He's not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Mark Wahlberg has ever dosed a co-star on a movie set?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Sean, I actually have a... audio from what was going on in Dion Waiters' brain on the flight.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Should I play that?
Please.
I obtained this from the antenna that I have that goes straight into Dion Waiters.
Oh, great.
Didn't know you were still here. Didn't know you were still here. I hear you. You know?
You know?
And all the celebration,
all
we didn't
celebration,
get a chance
we
to really
get
talk.
A chance to really
just
talk.
Wanted to say.
Just wanted to
I know there's been some
I know
up
there's
and
been some up and down this season.
But you came a long way.
You came a long way.
I hear you.
The other thing we need to talk about here is it was a 40-minute flight.
It was a 40-minute flight. It just seems like he ate like a handful of gummies. Like that had to be it, but that's crazy that he couldn't hold it together for... Because I recently flew from Phoenix to Los Angeles. It doesn't take very long. Mm-hmm. Man. God bless him. Do you think he's tradable still?
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, he's an expiring contract, right?
Yeah, they'll probably have to
buy him out, though.
I guess that's it makes the buyout cheaper, and he can go somewhere else. Like, I still think he should be playable.
You know where I think he ends up?
Where?
Nets, baby.
Oh shit! Yeah, they need a push. We got plenty of stuff
to
trade.
That's the other person who maybe gave him a gummy. It's very possible his old backcourt mate Kyrie gave him the gummy.
Imagine now that you like look back on what those guys have done, how crazy was that team when they were like a rookie and a second year player? Because also, did you see Tristan Thompson today?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
He was really good, but also did some really crazy things.
It reminded me of someone who had watched a lot of videos of Shaq leading a fast break. Mm-hmm. You know, like those three or four times a year when Shaq would do that.
Let's explain what Tristan Thompson did.
Yeah.
So he gets the rebound. He goes behind his back.
Uh-huh.
Gets around the guy sorta, then goes behind his back again, and then does a spin move and basically into a half court heave once he crosses the half court line. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think his back foot might be on the logo at center court when he releases this one. Also,
now I believe he'd hit 5 threes in the game already for somehow. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's right. He had a good game.
Yeah.
But this play was pretty weird just because when he put it up, when I saw the clip out of context first, and I thought, mm-hmm. Oh, this is the end of a quarter.
Yeah.
This is why he's pushing himself. It was not the end of a quarter. There was in fact like 5 seconds left on the shot clock when he let it go. It was truly bizarre to watch. Yeah, mm-hmm. He hit 2 threes tonight, but he did have 12 rebounds and 17 points.
Mm-hmm. But he was 3 for 14. He's 3 of 5 this season from downtown, and 3 from 14 for his career.
Wow. Someone's going to trade for him.
Yeah. You know who it's going to be? The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, my God. Reunited and it feels so good.
I don't know if he can be in Los Angeles legally, though, with
his
Kardashian stuff.
Someone will take him out. So the other plays that felt very weed gummy to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll ask you this question, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean, who this year feels like they're playing on weed gummies?
Okay, so I think Eric Bledsoe had the most weed gummy type play of anyone when he just dribbled the ball in on an inbounds play instead of passing it.
People said they've never seen that before.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen that twice.
Okay, so who did you see do it?
I saw Anthony Randolph do it in person. But I also saw Lamar Odom do it one time.
Yeah, so, okay, so... So the definitely weed gummy territory. Yeah, the whole second half of that game felt like Eric Bledsoe had eaten an edible at halftime, because like a lot of like weird fouls and kind of falling down, and he really almost blew that game that individually that Kawhi was sitting out during. But luckily, eventually Giannis just started just taking the ball away from him, mm-hmm. and then it worked out. Cam Reddish, I had seen the highlight where he spins around twice and then shoots an air ball.
He did that in another game, too.
He also spun around at least all the way around on two separate occasions in this game.
Yeah.
And it's not a good move. Like, because people have, once you see it once, and the guy, he's not like faking anything, he just starts spinning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it reminds me of when the four-year-old I babysit gets really excited about watching basketball highlights. He'll try to play basketball, and that's like his move.
Mm-hmm.
It's to just spin with the ball.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gets dizzy and falls down, which is also what happens with Cam Reddish. That's pretty much, those are like the obvious ones I can think of. I don't think there's anyone else who's been quite gummied out in that same way.
Well, Dante DiVincenzo is always on gummies, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's how he does it. And like when he's having a good trip, he just doesn't miss.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Finally, Sean.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the stupid Knicks where...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone I follow who I have notifications on Twitter went crazy on Sunday. Like, whoa, this is the biggest story in the world. The Knicks are going to fire Fizdale.
Yeah, like...
It's like literally, oh, we do this every fucking year, guys. Yeah. Like, they're going to have three more of these press conferences. Like,
the only... I guess I didn't initially understand the context of this, that... That they just walked up to the podium after the game,
mm-hmm.
like without telling the coach or the players. So Fizdale's like talking to the team in the locker room, and Steve Mills and general manager Scott Perry, mm-hmm. which sounds like a fake name, Joey.
Both of those guys. If you told me those are the two founding members of like Bachman Turner Overdrive, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, these are some bass players from early indie bands that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Scott Perry, he used to
play Paz and Jop.
used to tour with Soul Asylum, just like for 6 months, but the sound was really different. So Steve Mills basically gives a press conference where he's like, I know you guys think we did a terrible job this offseason putting together this roster, but that's not the case. It's actually the coach who was bad, and we were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Perry is standing there the whole time like, I'm not completely sure Steve Mills told him what was going to happen before they entered the room. Because
mm-hmm.
he's standing off to the side like, I don't totally know where this is going, and he might be getting ready to fire me right now. But basically, it's like, it's a weird thing to do because it's this very Knicks-y idea that they need to lay the foundation for firing a coach who's 2-8 or 2-9 at this point.
Yeah.
Where you could just be like, hey, we're firing David Fizdale, and people would say, like, wow, the Knicks really suck, but we get it. He's won like 19 games in his year and a half here. But it's this like weird Knicks thing where they're like, well, this will convince everybody. We had this press conference, and then when they fire him, they'll be like, I remember that press conference from a week ago. The organization is run as if everyone is children that they're trying to trick all the time.
Yeah.
But also, Steve Mills has now presided over 5 head coaches. Which is, that is amazing job security for a GM, which is actually, Ryan McDonough almost had that many in Phoenix in a pretty short amount of time.
All right. And then let's go over some injuries real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you mentioned it already. The biggest injury in the NBA currently is, of course, Damian Lee of the Warriors broke his hand.
That's right. They're at least they don't have to make a decision on his two-way contract yet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, what a season for the Warriors.
Gordon Hayward broke his hand. Unclear if it's the aiming hand or the movement hand when he's holding a controller. But
I heard it was for spell summoning. That was the one that was heard. But that's unsubstantiated.
I bet he plays with a mouse and keyboard though, so he'll figure it out.
Do you think he might re-injure it playing League of Legends? like he's going to be definitely held out of the basketball court for like a month at least. But yeah, like he might hurt it gaming, trying to come back too soon.
He was having a really good season, I guess. But the whole time I was thinking about it after he got hurt, how funny it would be if... So Brad Stevens has to like go and tell the reporters after the game like how hurt his son is, right? You know.
Oh right, yeah.
But how funny would it be if he just did the like "that's my daughter" in there speech from Mystic River?
Do you think Gordon Hayward's wife was mad at him for breaking his
Absolutely.
Hand? Absolutely. Yeah, he's in a lot of trouble.
Robin is very upset.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon is having knee surgery. He's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, like at least. I think his knee's been hurt for a while. Mm-hmm. Look, James Harden has been scoring points. Russell Westbrook is playing terrible defense, but has been pretty good on offense. But their depth chart is not.
Mm-hmm. Gerald Green is out for the year, and it's going to matter.
Yeah. And House hurt his back too.
They're just going to trade for Iguodala though, right?
Yeah, I mean that has to be their move, right? At this point,
I mean, I heard that they tried already, but Tillman wouldn't let them because of the luxury tax. Oh, just
put him in the tax.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was reading a Twitter account that was really defending him about, you know, how people spend other people's money, and
we don't need to talk about that. That's unconfirmed. But
yeah,
if anyone finds any burner accounts out there that they think are Tillman Fertitta's, please, please continue tagging us in those threads. It really helped me out today. Made me feel good.
So we're going to see a lot of Ben McLemore and Austin Rivers for a month and a half, which maybe it just doesn't matter. I don't know. So good.
And then finally, De'Aaron Fox has a sprained ankle. And he's out like 2 months, like a bad one.
That is a bummer. Yeah, no, he's out. I mean, considering the Kings are kind of going in the toilet, I mean, they beat the Blazers tonight, mm-hmm. but this is like the Blazers are like a wounded animal right now. They just need to survive for 2 more weeks. And then they get to play the Bulls and the Cavs and the Thunder and stuff.
Well, and then they get our friend from Turkey back. Maybe he's our listener.
Nerd. Maybe he comes back. Yeah. it's just warning Blazers fans. It is going to be pretty bad for this road trip. Mm-hmm. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's being held up by Jim Boylan to illuminate a midnight practice for his players. But yeah, the thing I'm excited about with Fox, it just sucks that he's out. But I mean, considering that they're playing extremely slow down Luke Walton basketball for some reason, I really want them to play Bogdan Bogdanovich, a point guard.
Yeah, love
tennis
Bogdan
this tonight. Just start it. Like, no one needs Corey Joseph to start. Mm-hmm. Just no one.
I mean,
one.
They did
like,
pay him starter money, so actually.
They did. But, I mean, it's like, it would be great for Bogdanovich. Like if you're going to be kind of bad, why not be like a weird, super big team, too?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, yeah. Also, these Kings summer moves. Dwayne Dedman's about to become the third string center. Corey Joseph like won't shoot, mm-hmm. can't shoot and won't shoot. Oh, and then Trevor Ariza, did he file his retirement papers like 9 months ago, Joey? Just no one noticed. He hasn't been great.
All right, I think that's our episode. Sean, what would you like to plug?
I'm going to have a thing about load management later this week, which is not exactly my thoughts, but I am going to be making fun of basketball players from the 80s, so that should be enjoyable.
That's great. And as for me, listen to the Scattered podcast with Chris Garcia.
Neither one of us are on it, but no. It's really good.
Watch David Borey's Comedy Central half hour.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Watch
guys.
Alan Strickland Williams's Comedy Central half hour. Watch Joe Quazzala's Comedy Central half hour. We know a lot of people who got half hours this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then donate to the Patreon, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Please. Come on.
And then you can always follow me on Twitter. At Frankie Muniz, where on November 9th, I tweeted, FML equals Frankie Muniz's life.
That could get on the Frankie Muniz Mount Rushmore, honestly. I don't like how self-aware Frankie has become about his Twitter.
No.
But also, that's still completely on brand.
Did you write a song today, Sean?
I did. This is actually a cover, it's an old Beatles song that they recorded when they were in Germany. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you know, the Beatles famously were playing in, was it Berlin? No, it's a different city. Hamburg?
Hamburg, yeah.
Hamburg. So they're playing a bunch of shows, and for money, they worked as video coordinators, actually, for a local German basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is a Beatles cover. I hope I did it justice. It's called Scoutman.
Great.
Yeah.
You are going to get us in trouble. All right. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all keep re-editing that scene with Han Solo and Greedo.
Let me tell you how it will be. If you read my tweets, it costs a fee. 'Cause I'm the scout man. Yeah, I'm the scout man. If a woman tries to ball with me, I'll punch her in the ovary. 'Cause I'm the scout man. Yeah, I've met Randy Whitman. If you argue with me, I'll call you a slob. If you tax Bill Gates, you should get a job. If you disagree, you're a Twitter mob. Why are you so mad? I hate World Wide Wob. Cause I'm the scout man. I live in my girlfriend's van. Don't ask me what made me get fired. Ha ha, Scotty Brooks. I'll say your Patreon expired. Please give me $2. 'Cause I'm the scout man. I'm a deeply insecure man. I hope you like my scouting song, Scoutman. It was almost 20 minutes long, Scoutman. 'Cause I'm a scout man. Yeah, I'm a man, not a fan. And I'm working for no one but me. Hey, if you join our Patreon, for just $10 a month, you can have a personal phone call. We'll tell you who the walrus was. Spoiler alert, it was Jan Mahinmi.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.